Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This is an Odyssey original.
This is Coronavirus Daily. I'm Mike Simpson from the KNX Odyssey Studios in LA. If you've been stir crazy, stuck at home during the pandemic, ready to get out and go somewhere, 4th of July, yeah, you're not alone. Roads and airports are going to be packed this weekend. Close to 50 million people expected to go someplace between July 1st and 5th. Most will be driving, so get ready. Confusion here in LA County. We thought things were clear, but apparently not when it comes to masking. If you skipped your visits to the dentist, a lot of other people did too, and now you might have to wait longer. But let's start with 4th of July and the pandemic. Bob Pishu, transportation analyst for INRIX, going to look different this year compared to last year. Rob Archer and I asked him about how bad it's going to be.
It's going to be pretty bad. So last Memorial Day, we did see a surge in congestion and car traveling, and it's going to happen again this 4th of July. So we're expecting quite a few cars on the road.
So where does it rank in terms of like normal travel? 2019 was a big year pre-pandemic. Then we had the pandemic. Nobody went anywhere for obvious reasons. But are we going to eclipse even what we were starting to get used to of, oh, every 4th of July, it's always really, really busy? Because we know we have this pent up demand right now. People are itching to go places.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So I don't think we're going to eclipse 2019 travel, but I bet you we're going to eclipse 2018 and before. So this is going to be right up there with kind of what we're used to, normal, you know, which will unfortunately kind of remind us of the old days, which is a good thing and a bad thing, because we'll be sitting in traffic in some of our kind of favorite spots that we head toward this 4th of July.
I went on vacation recently, and I was in Texas, visited Dallas and Houston. While I was there, anybody I talked to that I said, oh, I'm from L.A., they went on and on about, oh, L.A. and your traffic, blah, blah, blah. But the thing was, when I was driving around there, me and my wife, we noticed that traffic felt just as bad there as it does back here. So is L.A. going to be like a hot spot of traffic trouble, or is this going to be all over the major metropolitan areas around the country?
Yeah, it's pretty much around the major metros, but we do see, you know, some reduced amount of travel still kind of reeling from the pandemic. So San Francisco and Washington, D.C. areas have generally been kind of slow to recover from the pandemic in terms of travel, whereas other cities like Houston and Tampa and Miami have been kind of, you know, coming back a little bit more in terms of travel. So some areas of the country are still kind of lagging behind that recovery.
You know, we said tongue in cheek, you better leave now because that's the only time. But really, when is the best time to try? And if you're going to head this off a little bit, because you know, everybody's going to leave like Friday night or whatever it is, early Saturday, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you're right. Right. Leave at midnight, you know, to avoid travel. But, you know, as you just mentioned, Friday is the busiest day for Los Angeles, and kind of avoiding that 3 to 6 p.m. kind of period is you want to avoid that. So either after that, maybe 7:30, something like that, or, you know, at around noon.
Are we going to see more traffic trouble because, you know, they talk about people that haven't really been on the road for quite some time getting back on the road and maybe they've forgotten how to drive?
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, you know, things like traffic collisions and you know, I know we're talking about a good thing, 4th of July, but fatalities and stuff are still really high. And so we're seeing speeding is an issue and things like that. So I do think, though, that, you know, we should be cautious out there, be aware and watch out for those types of things, not only because for our health reasons, but also that can also lead to unforeseen things and congestion, too. So a traffic accident, as we well know, can really gum up the entire region. So in terms of congestion.
Bob Pissu, transportation analyst for INRIX. You also notice that everything has a line now because people are so wanting to go out. I went to a bar this weekend that I used to just walk into randomly because it was, you know, down the street. I could just go whenever I wanted. The line was down the block.
Wow.
So, like, the demand just to...
Pent-up demand.
Get reservations for everything, if there are some left.
Yeah, I'm going to make a reservation and head to the grocery store in a minute.
All right, if you're not listening in California, we reopened fully a couple weeks ago. Masks not required anymore in most places if you're fully vaccinated. But concern over the Delta variant has led to some changes, some confusion, a recommendation in L.A. County. The public health officials here now strongly recommending people put their masks back on indoors in public places, you know, grocery stores, retail, that kind of thing, regardless of vaccination status. Barbara Ferrer is L.A. County's public health director. Rob and I asked what she would say to people who are hesitant and resistant to that recommendation. They say, hey, a couple weeks ago, CDC said I can take them off and I don't want to put them back on.
You know, this is a strong recommendation for folks who are in settings where the vaccination status of everyone else is not known. In particular, you're in a place where there could be many people that are unvaccinated. And while, you know, these vaccines provide a powerful, powerful protection to people who are fully vaccinated, we do have breakthrough cases and we have an emerging concern related to the Delta variant. And in both situations, there are small numbers of people who are fully vaccinated who can and do, in fact, become infected. The concern with the Delta variant is some of the people who have become infected, while nobody has been hospitalized or has died in the samples we have here in LA County, some people have become sick with symptoms of COVID. And the question is, if you've got symptoms of COVID, you know, are you able to transmit the infection? And again, as with much in this pandemic, we just don't have definitive answers yet on the Delta variant. The issue in front of us is just, you know, how do we continue to take care of each other when we have so many people not yet vaccinated, 1.3 million children not able to get vaccinated yet because they're under the age of 12? You know, what are the sensible things that we do that cause almost no disruption in our lives or in business, customary business practices? And mask wearing is just one of those. You know, when you're outside, there's really very little worry that this virus will spread unless there are extraordinary situations where people are super crowded together for very long periods of time. But otherwise, you know, really, you could feel very much at ease that there'll be almost no transmission in those settings. But indoors, it's just not that case.
Yeah, inside can be a different story. And like you say, we've seen the point made from other people, too. It is a simple thing just to put it back on. It doesn't really hurt anybody. So, but let's be clear. Let's go back to what you were saying a minute ago on the why. Who are we trying to protect with this? Because there are the fully vaccinated breakthrough cases, but as your data shows, that is an exceedingly small number. And most of those cases are ending up being like, hey, you know, you got a cold and we all remember getting colds and it's not fun, but you're going to be fine. Or is this meant to better protect the unvaccinated because that variant is easily going to move through that population?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think the answer is a little complicated. I mean, it's definitely going to protect people who are unvaccinated. And one of the situations we have is where there are lots of indoor spaces where no one's really able to verify somebody's accurate vaccination status. You have, you know, both vaccinated people and unvaccinated people that could not be wearing their masks. And again, creating potential risks for the people who are unvaccinated. You know, we're particularly concerned about essential workers who got hit hard last year and who have lower rates of vaccination than some of our other populations and who could get hit hard again. And, you know, I think as we work to build confidence in the vaccine so that everyone feels good about getting vaccinated, we go ahead and we're sensible. And again, this is a recommendation. It is not a requirement. It's meant to say, you know, we're still all here together taking care of each other. And one way we know to protect aerosolized transmission of this virus is to keep those masks on. So, yes, I think it's a sensible protection when you're indoors in spaces and places where you just don't know everyone's vaccination status. And as you said, it's relatively simple to do and it doesn't really interrupt any of our recovery efforts.
There is a, maybe I guess we can call it the unsympathetic approach, and I think the vaccinated people may have some right in saying this because the vaccines are available to those who want them. So we've seen this too. People will say, well, you know what, if you're not vaccinated by now, you've had plenty of chances, so why don't you just get the shot? And then if you don't, that's your decision, and you fully are aware that this variant is out there and it's going to be bad for you if you catch it.
I think there's three reasons to hopefully not go there. The first is that there's 1.3 million children in LA County who cannot get vaccinated because they're under the age of 12 and who could easily get infected, particularly if you have a variant circulating like the Delta variant. The second reason is wherever you have community transmission, you increase the chances of mutations. And while so far we've been blessed that our vaccines have been super powerful against the variants of concern to date, that doesn't necessarily hold in the future. So you want to keep, for everyone's sake, you want to keep community transmission as low as possible, because if the virus isn't transmitted, it can't mutate. And all of us are benefited when there's less and less mutations of this virus in our community. And the last is, you know, there is a whole group of folks who are not yet vaccinated because they have a lot of unanswered questions and concerns about the vaccine. They're not anti-vaxxers. They're asking legitimate questions about this vaccine as they do the risk-benefit analysis. For all of us who already got vaccinated, we did that, and we came up very quickly with the conclusion that these vaccines are powerful and I'm going to get one. But there are other people who haven't had great experiences with perhaps our medical establishment. They haven't had good government. And this is a new vaccine. And they're going to ask more questions and want more evidence to help build that confidence in the vaccine. And we shouldn't write anybody off. I believe like we're all here to take care of each other. And that includes taking care of unvaccinated people while we build confidence in the vaccine.
When it comes to the wear the masks again, regardless of vaccination status in the indoor settings, which we've been speaking about, you know, you can find doctors that say, yeah, you know what, it makes sense. You can find doctors that say they don't really advise against or for that right now. They don't think the transmission is warranted. We've had both of those kinds of doctors on the air. But we also had somebody else that expressed this concern, saying it's only been a couple weeks since the CDC and the state pulled back and said, okay, you can take them off. And since it's now so soon, do you worry that if there's a backlash to this and people say, nope, I'm not going to do it, that if we really do need to do this, you know, in December, in winter, it's colder, more people are inside, if we see a surge, that then you kind of lost the chance to get people to do it then, because you only get so many shots at this, right?
That's a great question, and appreciate that concern. You know, I'd probably highlight a couple of things. You know, one is this is not an order. It's not a health officer order. It's not a directive. It's a recommendation. And, you know, what we hope is, you know, people will look at the same information we're looking at because we put all that data on our website. People will listen to us and they'll listen to others who may say something different. And then they'll make up their minds to do what they think is best for them, their family, and their community. And we'll proceed that way. And I think that's fine because transmission rates are low. I just like to keep them super low. I don't want to go back into a situation like you're describing where we get to another point in time where we've had a lot more transmission and we're then starting to mandate with new directives, both around masking and perhaps around distancing again. I think we have an opportunity here to get ourselves to a place where we have community immunity, but it's going to take a couple more months. And during that time, we should just be sensible about how we're proceeding during the reopening. So I would urge, you know, more caution instead of less caution to allow us to really continue these very low rates of transmission. I mean, everyone knows because you've been watching our data that the last week or so, we've had both an increase in the number of cases. We've gone from about 225 cases a day to over 300 cases a day, sometimes even higher, over 350 cases a day. And the test positivity rate has also increased from a low of 0.3% to now 0.8%. So there is more community transmission already. It's just still like relative, especially to where we were. It's very low. But, you know, when you start seeing increases, you're going to pay a lot of attention to where are you seeing those increases and what can you do to make sure that we don't see a continued pattern as some other places have seen of increases that really cause a lot more people to get sick than we need to get sick right now. And I think our whole approach is like, let's just keep everyone who lives here in LA County, works here in LA County, as healthy as we can. It benefits us as a community, and it also benefits each individual person. I'm going to stay in this space of, you know, really looking at the data, noticing that we have a lot more of the Delta variant circulating. We have a whole bunch of people not yet vaccinated. We have a lot of reopenings where people are intermingling and there's opportunities for more transmission. And we can easily, in some of those indoor settings where the risks are the highest, go ahead and mask up for that extra added layer of protection.
How concerned are you? You know, you say this is not a directive. It's not an order. This is more of a strong recommendation. And so we note that. But how concerned are you that maybe one of these variants is going to pick up? Because as you say, the pandemic's not over yet. And we do have some cases increasing, still low, but they are going back up instead of down. Are you worried that if you do have to mandate some more directives, that you'll get more pushback against them next time?
You know, I hope not. I hope everyone's realized, you know, we like everyone else, prefer not to have to issue directives. And when we do them, it's because we're super concerned about the data we're seeing and the examples we're seeing of where spread is happening. So, you know, we all live here also, and we all miss so much that LA had to offer for the last 18 months. And we all are part of, you know, enjoying this full reopening and this recovery journey. I think we're looking very much ahead and wanting to make sure that we're not foolish during these next couple of months until we get to community immunity. We take those simple steps, like washing our hands still, that really reduce transmission and we know works even among people not yet vaccinated.
LA County Public Health Director Dr. Barbara Ferrer. Doctor, thanks for coming back on the show.
No, thank you.
Short break, and then we will drill to the roots of why dentists are so packed right now. So, did you go to the dentist over the course of the pandemic? The early days, they were closed, and other people avoided going in, right? But now things are open, maybe you're feeling better, and a lot of people are rushing to get those appointments, crowding the offices. Dr. Marko Vujicic, Senior Economist and Vice President of the American Dental Association. Rob and I asked how crowded those offices are right now.
Our research shows that, in fact, dental care is the top healthcare service people put off and avoided during the pandemic. So we're definitely seeing kind of pent up demand. We're also seeing, as you're mentioning, a huge return of patient volume. Our latest data show we're almost back to pre-COVID levels in terms of the number of dental visits happening in offices. But definitely, it's been a wild ride. But thankfully, the sector's reopened. It's weathered the storm. And we're certainly seeing dental care really being showcased as essential core healthcare.
Yeah, I guess it kind of
saying yourself.
It makes sense, right, for obvious reasons. You're breathing there and your mouth's open the whole time. So COVID, and you're like, I'm not going to go. But now people probably feel safe and comfortable because we're in a different world than we are, you know, than we were a year ago. So in practice, what does this look like to somebody try and make an appointment? Is it you can't get one as rapidly as you could? Or if you got to reschedule, you're looking a few weeks instead of a couple days, that kind of thing?
Well, dentists have adjusted, right? I mean, there's certainly high demand, and we do have indications, for example, of some staffing shortages. About almost a quarter of dentists are actually hiring in their practices, which is telling us they certainly have no shortage of patients. But what will look different from, you know, us that go to the dentist is certainly dentists are using enhanced infection control protocols and all that. And you know, you mentioned the risk. We certainly, in the early stages of the pandemic, we didn't know much about how COVID was transmitted and how risky it was. And thankfully, the ADA and the CDC were driven by the evidence and the data, and it turned out to be very safe. I'll just give you a quick stat. Our latest data from 2 weeks ago shows that 97% of the people that were going to the dentist pre-COVID are feeling safe and willing to go back now. So that's kind of a good success story in terms of maintaining consumer confidence.
Is this all going to balance out okay for most dental practices? Because not only are they having more patients come back in, they did have to maybe invest in some more equipment and take more safety precautions. And that, you know, is going to cost a little bit extra money. Is the increase in patients going to help them pay for that? How are they surviving as a business?
It's a great point. And I'll tell you, we don't have the data yet to answer that. But here's a couple things that I'm pretty bullish on. Number one, during the heart of the pandemic, we had some concerning indicators about dentists that were going to retire early or sell their practice. Turns out that's not happening. We haven't seen any sort of large scale bankruptcies or closures. A big part of that is the financial relief that the government injected, specifically the Paycheck Protection Program. 92% of dentists received funds through there. But honestly, as we're seeing, if the patient, the numbers keep going the way they're going, the demand is certainly strong. And yes, the costs have gone up, but you know, we're tracking this closely. We don't have a strong answer now, but for now, it looks like we have weathered the storm financially. And things are looking pretty bullish on our end.
Probably saw the uptick when the mask started coming off too, right? Couldn't hide anymore.
Yeah, perhaps. Yeah, that's a good one. Not to bore you, but we have some stats on that. People certainly are a little bit more aware of their appearance now, not just in dentistry, but in their wardrobe and things like that, as we start to slowly go back to in-person meetings and stuff for those of us that work in offices. So yes, I mean, the demand continues to rise.
Dr. Marko Vujicic, Senior Economist, Vice President of the American Dental Association. Thanks. The mRNA vaccines, you know, Pfizer and Moderna, might offer long-lasting protection. A study in the journal Nature found both the vaccines set off a persistent immune reaction in the body that may protect against the virus for years. Scientists found that people who survived COVID, immune cells that recognize the virus lie in the bone marrow. For at least 8 months, study by another team indicated the so-called memory B cells continue to mature and strengthen for at least a year after the infection. Based on those findings, the researchers suggested immunity might last for years, possibly a lifetime, in people who were infected with the virus and then later vaccinated. You can find this Odyssey original and others on the Odyssey app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.